have ignited a fire in the earth to burn bright, to burn eternal. It's a fire of glory. It's a fire of power. It's a fire for this hour. Get in the flame and let my fire consume you. Let it change you and transform you. And share the fire. Spread the fire. Fan the flame. For I have made my ministers a flame of fire. So let my fire burn in your heart, in your bones, in your minds. And my fire will purify. It will warm. It will enlighten. It will illuminate. Let it burn. Let it burn. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to let your fire burn in our hearts, Father. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. That we gather to hear God's word. You know, the Bible says if two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I am in the midst. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a word addict. I got addicted to God's word a long, long time ago. And I don't regret being a word addict. Because I can't tell you how many times the word has saved my life, literally. The word has kept me from destruction. The enemy tried his best, and he's still unsuccessful. Amen? And I give the credit to the Word of God and His Spirit. And so when you hear the Word, I just want you to prepare your heart. Say, my heart is open, and I'm ready to receive God's incorruptible Word. It'll enter my heart. It'll give me light, understanding, and wisdom. I'll be able to put it into practice so I can be conformed to the image of Christ. My goal is to please Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. This is the fifth part in our overall series. It's called God is More Than Enough. How many know that God is more than enough? You know, God doesn't only want to meet your needs. But he wants to exceed your needs. He's a loving father. How many fathers want their kids to be better than they were? To be better off, amen? And what do as parents? You know, we work hard and we want to support our families. Well, God is no different. Except God's way of supporting his family doesn't involve toil. It has divine strategies, instructions, principles that he gives to us, and when we enact them, when we do them, we have the success that he guarantees success. Did you know that God's word will work? It'll get you out of any jam. It can correct any problem. It can straighten out any crookedness. Amen? So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to look at a story tonight that I'm simply calling, don't sell my kids. Say that with me. Say, don't sell my kids. Okay. Let's get into this. This is an example of supernatural increase. Did you know that God is supernatural? In other words, He can interrupt any natural law whenever He chooses to do so. For example, it's not natural for men to walk on water, but Jesus did, and Peter did. It's not natural for men to outrun horses, but Elijah did. It's not natural for dead men to come back to life, but Lazarus did. Why? We serve a supernatural God. And when God wants to do something to you, He's not bound by natural law or natural limits. I didn't think I'd be preaching so hard tonight, but it's just in me like a ball of fire. Let's start with verse 1. Here's 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. I want to stop right there. When you're in trouble, who do you turn to for advice? Do you have a good quality spiritual advisor that will give you the truth? Notice she didn't run to the banker. She didn't run to anybody. She ran to the prophets. She ran to the person who speaks the words of God. Okay? Her husband was a prophet. Her husband was a student of Elisha. He was a mentor to him in some capacity. You know, Elisha had a school of the prophets. And this woman's husband was one of them. He attended Elisha's school. So she went to Elisha for advice in this troubling time. All right? She came to her husband's mentor, and she states her case. Her husband was dead. The stream of income that her husband had was no longer coming to the house. And now the creditors were coming to take her two sons. Don't sell my sons. Don't sell my sons. She didn't want to see her sons go into slavery. But yet she was facing a debt that she couldn't pay. Okay? Now, here is some interesting things about this. You know, when the creditors would come, they would enslave your children for at least 7 years, because on the seventh year they had to be released. Okay? To pay the debt. That was customary. All right? Now, this woman, according to Chaldee and the rabbis, was the wife of Obadiah. Now, not the prophet Obadiah, but the Obadiah that hid the prophets from Jezebel. Go with me to 1 Kings 18. All right? We'll come back to 2 Kings 14, but go to 1 Kings 18 for a minute. I don't know whether or not this is true, but it sounds pretty good. Okay? And in verse 3, 1 Kings 18:3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Sounded just like her husband. Okay? Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of the water and unto all the brooks peradventure that we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him and knew him and fell on his face and said, Are you that my Lord Elijah? Is that you, Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Okay? And anyway, this was the Obadiah. He hid 100 prophets in a cave and fed them bread and water. This may be where the extra expense came in. This is why maybe he got in debt. Maybe he borrowed money to feed the prophets. He did not want to dip into Ahab's treasury. Okay? Even though he worked for Ahab, he did not believe into what Ahab was doing. So he took it upon himself. He hid these 100. Can you imagine hiding 100 prophets and feeding them every day? What kind of expense that would generate? Amen? Anyway, this is the Obadiah, possibly, that we're talking about. Let's go back to 2 Kings 4. So this woman and her two sons, she's got this problem. She's in debt. Don't have any money coming in. And the creditor's about to take her sons, so she comes to Elisha. All right? And verse 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? You know, Jesus did that to some people. Remember in John chapter 5, there was a man at the pool of Bethesda. He'd been there for 30 plus years. And when Jesus came up to him and said, do you want to be made well? What kind of question is that to ask someone who's been sitting by a well waiting to get healed for 30 plus years? But you see, he lost his desire. And Jesus wanted to make sure that he still had a desire to be healed. So Jesus said, you know, do you want to be healed? He told the blind man, Bartimaeus, when Bartimaeus cried out and they brought him to Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Hello, Jesus, I'm blind. No, Jesus wanted him to express his faith. So Elisha says, what shall I do for you? Tell me what you have. Isn't that what Jesus asked when he fed the 5,000? He said, what kind of food do we have? Oh, well, there's a little boy here with 5 loaves, 2 fish, or 7 loaves and a few fish. You know, he did that twice. He fed more than 5,000 people twice. Everybody say, what do I have? Prosperity in God's kingdom always begins with what you have, not what you don't have. God will never prosper you with what you don't have, always what you have. How did God deliver the Israelites from Egypt? He used a stick and a man. What's that in your hand, Moses? A stick. God used a stick. He used what Moses had in his hand to bring deliverance. See, it doesn't matter what you have in your hand, it's what you do with what's in your hand. It's who you give to what's in your hand. Amen? Now, it has always been God's desire to take care of widows. He always took care of widows. He remarked of a widow that was giving an offering. He said, the rich gave in a lot, but she gave in all she had. You notice Jesus didn't say she ought not give. He commended her for giving out of her need. Why? When you give out of your need, you're telling God, I trust you with everything. Amen? So, God will prosper you with what you have, so be willing and obedient, okay? Now he's about to give her a divine instruction. You must completely trust God in following an instruction about your stuff. Say, God has permission to use my stuff. Besides, he's the one that gave you your stuff anyway. So he ought to be able to use it anytime he needs it. Amen? Verse 3. Then he, see, at first he said, how can I help you? Because he was interested in helping the widow. But then while he's talking to her, the light bulb came on. And he got a divine inspiration. He got a download from God. Here's what he told her, verse 3. Then he said, go borrow vessels abroad. Okay? Because all she had was a little cruse of oil. A small bottle of olive oil, maybe to anoint one person. Maybe that was for her burial. So he tells her, go borrow vessels abroad of how many of your neighbors? All, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. How many know that if you want to prosper, you've got to prepare to prosper? If you pray for rain, you better bring an umbrella. Why? You're preparing. That's faith. If you go to a place and you pray for rain, bring an umbrella. Amen? He told her to prepare to prosper. Borrow vessels. Get as much as you can. Don't get a few. Jesus told the same thing to Peter. He said, cast your nets out into the deep for a catch. Master, we toiled all night long. But nevertheless, at your word, he threw out a net. Jesus said, cast out your nets. But Peter threw out a net. And the net started to break. And they had to get another net anyway. If he'd have just thrown out the net in the beginning, he'd have had more than enough. But he didn't follow the instruction. See, in order to prosper, you must recognize a word, an instruction, and direction from God. How do you do that? You spend time in God's presence. When you're in God's presence, you'll learn to recognize His voice. If you can recognize His voice in His presence, you can recognize His voice wherever you are. See, the reason that we don't recognize God's voice all the time is because we're not spending time in His presence like we should. Uh-oh. Now you're telling on Him, Pastor. Isn't that true? When you worship God, He'll speak to you. He'll talk with you. Why? He loves you so much. God wants to spend time more with you than you do with Him. He longs to do that. He moved heaven and earth just so that He could spend time with you. There's always going to be something to do to prosper. In other words, you cannot sit and do nothing and expect God to heap piles of money on you. Abraham built altars and tithed. Every place that Abraham went, first thing he did, he built an altar. On that altar, he gave offerings. He worshiped God. Did you know that giving is part of worship? It is. Isaac, he planted and dug wells to prosper. Right? God said, be where I tell you to be. And he stayed where God told him to be, and he planted, he reaped a hundredfold. And then after that, he had to dig up the wells that were covered up. Abimelech covered up his father's wells. And so Isaac had to redig the wells. Right? You read the story. That's how he prospered. Jacob, he dreamed, he tithed, and he stripped bark to prosper. He had to strip bark and make it like a barber's pole in front of the feeding trough. Right? He put these poles that were striped But God didn't strip the bark. But God gave him the dream to strip the bark. He told him how to create speckled and spotted sheep. And when he agreed, he told Laban, he said, this is going to be my wages. I'll take all the speckled and spotted sheep. So you know what Laban did? He took all of the speckled and spotted sheep and moved them 3 days apart from Jacob. So how Jacob prospered had to be supernatural. The sheep would come drink water. The strong sheep, they'd see these spotted rods, and they'd produce speckled and spotted kids. But if the weak sheep came, Jacob didn't put the rods out there. I don't want no weak sheep. I want strong sheep. My point is this. There's always going to be something to do and instruction to follow if you want to prosper. Why? Because it takes faith. What do you hear in the instruction? You hear God's word. What happens when you hear God's word? What comes to your heart? Faith. Right? Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing God's word. Why are we talking about supernatural examples of increase? Because I'm building your faith for supernatural examples of increase. The only way to do that is to preach the word about it. How did Joseph, that was a combination of Joseph and Jacob, you know, you get Jacob. Joseph, you get that right, Joseph. Joseph served, he did not complain, and he interpreted dreams to prosper. Three things that he did. It takes a lot of faith not to complain. Did you know that every time you complain, you destroy your faith? You could be in a great service like tonight, and you could hear the word, and it could come to your heart, but if you're out and about there and you start complaining, all of a sudden you just negated everything you heard. If you don't believe me, read Numbers 14 and see how God treated the people's complaints. He took it personal. God does not like complaining. Amen? God loves praising. It's just as easy to praise as it is to complain, but you get a whole lot better results when you're praising. How many has ever solved a problem by complaining about it? Did I see any hands? I don't see any hands. What did Jehoshaphat do to prosper? He praised and he sought God. He sent the praisers out before the warriors, and all they had to do was gather the spoil. They didn't even have to fight. How did Peter prosper? He launched a net into the deep when he didn't feel like it. Here's what you got to do. You have to take the pictures of increase that come from God's word in your heart and begin to act them out in your life. God will form a picture. He'll show you succeeding, increasing, prospering. You've got to take that picture. And you just simply got to act it out. That's faith. Amen? When you hear words, it forms a picture, doesn't it? I'll prove it to you. Don't think about a pink elephant. All of a sudden now, y'all are thinking about this pink elephant with floppy ears and a big trunk. And you're thinking, man, pink on an elephant is really weird. Where did that picture come from? I just formed that picture right now with words. Just don't be saying, I went and heard about a pink elephant at church tonight. But you get my point. That formed a picture in your mind, didn't it? Well, guess what? Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Doesn't that form a picture? Can you see yourself prospering and walking in divine health? Not just getting healed, walking in divine health. The woman expected the empty pots to be filled. How do we know that? If she didn't expect them to be filled, she would have never gathered them. Now you got to understand, all she had was a cruse of oil. She did not know how she was going to get out of this debt. So she went to her spiritual advisor. He gave her a word from God, which was an instruction. The instruction was not logical. You mean gather empty pots, but I only got the... How's this little jar going to fill all those empty pots? You leave that up to God. You just get the empty pots and start pouring. You don't have to know how it works. You just have to know who gave you the instruction. Amen? Every path to prosperity is full of divine instructions. You know how the Israelites prospered while being slaves in Egypt? God told Moses to tell the Israelites to ask their masters for silver, gold, and clothes. In other words, that would be like saying, go to your boss, go to your supervisor, and ask them for their gold, for their silver, and for their clothes. And God supernaturally gave the Israelites favor, and when they asked for gold, silver, and clothes, the Egyptians gave them gold, silver, and clothes, and the Bible says they plundered the Egyptians in one night. One night, God made up for 400 years of back wages. And the Bible prophesied, he told Abraham, he said, when they leave Egypt, they're not going to leave empty-handed. Now, they were slaves. But when they left Egypt, they were rich slaves. They left with money. Let me read Psalm 105. Verse 37. You might want to put that up on the screen. Psalm 105, verse 37. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among them. They were wealthy and healthy after being enslaved for 400 years. Why? Supernatural. That was a divine instruction. You know, it took faith to ask their masters for gold, silver, and clothes. But God gave them favor. And so they said, hey, can I have your gold, silver, clothes? Well, sure, here, take it. And after it was done, the Egyptians said, now why did I do that? By that time, the Israelites were gone with the stuff. All right, verse 4, 2 Kings. And when you are come in, you shall shut the door upon you. And upon your sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and you shall set aside that which is full. Some miracles are not for everybody to see. You know, when Jesus went into Jairus' daughter's room, he only took the father, the mother, and Peter, James, and John. Everybody else did not get to go in. See, sometimes you have to engulf yourself in God's presence. And behind closed doors, you have to express your gratefulness, your thankfulness, your praise. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. As they were thanking Jesus and praising him, you know, they were thanking God. She kept pouring. They'd fill a pot. They'd set that aside. They'd put another pot in there. They kept pouring, filled that pot, set that aside. They kept pouring, thanking God, praising God. They kept pouring, filling it, set aside, fill it, set aside, fill it, set aside. All of a sudden, verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons. Listen, she didn't ask why. She just followed the instruction. Say, yes, sir. That's all you got to do. When God speaks, yes, sir. You just act on what he says. Every step of faith is a positive response to God's word. Sometimes you got to eliminate interruptions. Now, I know that when you go to pray, you never get distracted, do you? You never feel tired. Your body that all of a sudden says, now I'm hungry. No, you're supposed to pray. No, I'm hungry. No, you're going to pray. Sometimes there's a battle that goes on. It's Wednesday night. We're going to church. I don't want to go to church. I want to rest. You're going to church. I don't want to go to church. You're going to church. It's a battle. But when you press through, you find out you're a whole lot better off that you came versus that you did. They shut the door from distractions. They had to focus on filling the vessels. The vessels represent desire, expectation, and obedience. How strong is your desire to be around the things of God? It has to be stronger than the pressures of life that would try to pull you away from it. Amen? Go to Psalm 10. Verses 7 and 8. Psalm 10, verses 7 and 8. This is the kind of preparation that we need to do right here. Psalm 10, verses 17 and 18. Psalm 10, verses 17 and 18. Notice this. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause their ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of earth may no more oppress. How many know that sometimes you've got to get into a place where you can just listen? You can just listen to his voice. Eliminate the worries, the distractions. Shut those things out. Okay? Your reality plus intensity of desire equals capacity. How much of God do you want? How much are you willing to put in? You get out of God what you put in of God. You know, the Bible says it this way, with the same measure you meet is measured back to you. Luke 6:38. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will cause men to give into your bosom. With the same measure you meet, is the same measure gets measured back to you. So if you want a little of God, just give God a little bit. Give him a little time, give him a little effort, and you'll get a little return. But if you want more of God, it's going to require more of you. John the Baptist said it best. They were asking John, hey, Jesus is baptizing more people than you. What are you going to do about that, John? He said, he must increase, I must decrease. You want God to be big in you? Then you be big in God. You want more of God? Get more in his word. Get more in his presence. Pray in tongues more. Try praying in tongues for a straight hour. And watch what God will do. For an hour, why not? You certainly can if you want to. Sometimes it takes more than an hour to bake a cake. Oh, I can bake a cake for an hour, but I can't pray in tongues for an hour. Well, pray in tongues while you're baking the cake. You know, you're not limited. You don't have to be on your knees praying. You can pray in tongues while you're washing dishes. Why? It bypasses your mind. Your mind doesn't have a clue. You're connecting directly to God. But if you want more of God, God wants more of you. Give and it shall be given to you. You want God to give you, then you give yourself to God. Why do you think Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness? Away from everybody else, away from distractions. He gave himself entirely to God. He gave God 40 days and God gave him every generation. He sowed 40 days and he came out of the wilderness with spiritual power. Sounds to me like a pretty good deal. I mean, he sowed 40 days in the wilderness and he could come out and turn water into wine. You want to turn water into wine? Then make a greater investment into God. Can you say amen? So she prepared. Let's go back to 2 Kings 4. Almost done. You didn't know there was so much richness in 8 verses, did you? So, verse 6. And when the vessels were full. How did they get full from one cruise of oil? Supernatural. Listen, God's not limited to the little cruise. But if you follow his instructions, he'll make that cruise into a tanker. Amen? He superseded the natural limits. If there was only 8 ounces in her jar, he multiplied that by thousands. The Bible doesn't say how many vessels she had. But every vessel that she had was full. And she said unto her son, bring me a vessel. And he said to her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. See, once the emptiness was full, the oil stopped flowing. Look at verse 8. Oh, no, I'm sorry, verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. All right? Hey, God, I did what you told me to do. Here's the oil. Now what do I do? What was her need? What did she need? She needed to pay off a debt, didn't she? Notice what God did. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, go, sell the oil, and pay off your debt, and that's it, right? Pay off your debt and what? Live, you and your children live on the rest. There was more than enough to pay the debt off, and there was excess. There was more left over. She had enough to live on. God wants you to live, not just survive. God is the author of abundant life, not the depressed life. He's the author of a joyful life, a full life, a rich life. He doesn't want you to live on Barely Get Along Street, right next to Grumble Alley. Why would a God who paves his streets and his city with gold want anything less for you? There was enough oil to pay the debt off and for her and her sons to live on the rest. Notice it didn't say for how long they could live. You talk about a walkaway income. In one day, this woman went from receiving creditors to paying off the creditors. Her sons are not going to be slaves, and she can live on the rest. God supernaturally created a stream of income that she didn't have before. Out of what she had. If God can do that for a woman, can he do it for you? If you believe it, give God a shout. I want you to really believe it. I want you to really embrace it. I want you to see yourself being taken care of by God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I'm not going to apologize. I am so excited about this. I just cannot contain myself. I thought I'd be a nice little smooth teaching tonight, but let me tell you something. We got to get a hold of this. This is for us today. God is not limited. Stop saying you're on a fixed income. Who fixed it? Seriously, who fixed it? I mean, the prophet didn't say, I'm sorry, but that's not enough oil to take care of you. The prophet didn't say, look, lady, you're on a fixed income. I can't do anything. Listen, if your income is fixed, unfix it. How do you unfix a fixed income? You obey God. You get His instructions. You do what God says do. You go where God says go. You be what God says be. And He will bless you. You got to believe God will bless you. You got to believe God is able to bless you. You know, when you give it an offering, it does not leave your life. It goes into your future. It leaves your hand, but it never leaves your life. It goes into your future. And God supernaturally multiplies it. He can cause you to have income from the most unexpected sources. Listen, He may not tell you to gather pots. He may not tell you to go sit by the brook and have ravens feed you, but He will give you an instruction. Your instruction is designed for you. Amen? Pay off the debt. Live on the rest. Your capacity to receive is determined by the degree of your possession of you. How much does God possess of you? He told His disciples in John 15, He said, if you abide in me and my words, plural, abide in you. When that happens, you have unlimited prayer potential, because He said you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. But the key is, what do you abide in? Do you abide in fear? Do you bite your nails every time a bill comes in? Do you stress about how you're going to pay it? Go to God. He's got ways you don't know. If He can cause a nation of 2 to 3 million people to walk through a Red Sea on dry ground, do you think He can open up a way to you? Amen? He loves you just the same. He is no respecter of persons. He loves you just the same. He wants to do great things for you, just like He does in the Bible. The Bible even said these are for our example. I want to paint a picture in you that God wants you to increase. And He will cause supernatural means for you to increase. If He can make a donkey speak, don't you think He can increase you? Jesus and Peter, they come to the temple. And it was tax season. Jesus didn't have Judas, who was the treasurer, with him. Peter didn't have his wallet because he's a fisherman. He had lures and hooks and a knife. He didn't have his wallet. What are we going to do, Jesus? We got to pay the temple tax. All right, Peter, go down to the water, cast in the line. The first fish you catch, it's going to have a coin in its mouth. That's going to be enough for me and you to pay our taxes together. Peter, he goes down, he says, praise God, God, I'm a fisherman. God told me to fish. I love to fish. He throws his line in. He reels it in. He catches a fish. And sure enough, inside that fish's mouth is a coin. Paid Jesus' tax, paid Peter's tax. God's got a coin for you. He's got a way that is above natural limitations. He caused oil to multiply to take care of a widow. God moved heaven and earth to make sure that this widow not only paid her debts, but had enough money to live on. Think about this. Joseph and Mary had a baby boy named Jesus, and his life was threatened. And they had just gotten a gift from wise men, part of which was gold. That was enough gold for them to go down to Egypt. They had to leave at night. They had to leave their home. They had to leave everything, just pack a bag and go. But that was enough gold to sustain a family of three in Egypt for 2 years. God supernaturally provided the men had to travel a great distance to get the gold to Jesus. It took 2 years. But yet God provided. And God provides for you the same way. You're just as much a child of His as Jesus is. We have the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus bonds us together to God. He is our Father. He will take care of you. He will sustain you. He will provide for you. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is El Shaddai, more than enough, all sufficient, almighty. He wants to provide. And this woman, she gave out the meat. And she didn't get to keep any of her work. She said, God gave her a business overnight. Amen? Say, God is increasing me. He's causing me to come up higher. I have no care, no worry, no concern about how I'm going to pay my bills. I've got a Father in heaven who cares for me. He provides for me. He loves me. He lavishes goodness on me. My Father is rich. He's got more than enough. He's got a full supply. I trust Him completely. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you've been watching tonight on Facebook Live, I want you to do this. I want you just to say, God, from this moment on, I will trust You. You're the giver of life. You're the giver of all good things. I receive You as my provider. Ask the Lord to be your provider and trust Him to provide for you. And He will, because He loves you. God bless you. Amen. Tonight, I want you to receive the goodness of God. God is good. God is not bad. He will take care everything. Stand up and listen. He's already been working on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You, Lord, that she is free from all care, all worry, and all concern. You don't have to try to figure it out. God's going to work everything out according to His will and His good pleasure. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You, Lord, for opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing on this young woman who loves You with all of her heart. Lord, just bless her indeed in the name of Jesus. you need, you receive a miracle in your body, a miracle in your finances, a miracle in your family. Amen? We don't live by miracles, we live by faith. But miracles are an instant get out. It's a get out of jail free card. Amen? We don't live by miracles, but we believe in miracles. We live by faith. Amen? So if you need God to do something that is beyond the natural, He wants to do it for you tonight. And I would just love to agree with you in prayer that He does just that. If you want prayer,